Hi everyone, welcome to today's episode of Beauty Bosses. We have the wonderful and amazing Shallon Lester.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy to have you. Shallon is one of my favorite creators, content creator, YouTube creator, advice giver, general wisdom dispenser. I mean, I feel like you do it all. Is that a good job description for you?
Considering you actually do it all, for you to tell me that I do it all is like, I'm going to call my mom and say that Dr. Laura said that.
Okay, this is so proud. First meeting of a mutual admiration society.
Gosh, yes, it is.
The first of many. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being here. So you're in New York because of Fashion Week.
I am. I'm here for Fashion Week. I live in Bozeman, Montana. I used to live in the city for like 15 years, and then I defected during COVID. I just needed more land and cows and guns and just ran off to play Yellowstone. But yeah, I'm back for Fashion Week. I'm walking in a show. I'm 5'5", yes, in case you're curious.
But and your skin is a little bit mildly red because it's on the way to get extremely glowy.
Right.
Because we just did the gold microinfusion facial.
Yes. And I was asking you about micro needling because I feel like this is the biggest trend out there. And if you say that it is, if you are doing it, then I know that it's good.
Yes, and I actually would add nuance to that and say that it's not a trend.
Okay, yes. Tell me all about it.
It's not a trend. It's a medicalized approach to improving skin quality. Mm-hmm. You know, think of the facial features, the tissue as fabric that is reducing in thread count as we age with estrogen and progesterone loss, collagen and elastin loss. The sheets become more threadbare, and so a way to build back the collagen, one of many ways, is microinfusion, microneedling. But anyway, wait, this is my podcast.
No, I have so many questions for you, and your audience wants to know all this beauty information.
Okay, well, we could do a hybrid of beauty and life.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so let me first ask you, okay, you can ask me anything, but I would love to have you explain to everyone a little bit of your backstory and how you got started, because for the uninitiated, Shallon is this really inspiring woman who advocates for not only women's rights, but also like good decision making and, you know, how to live well.
Yeah. I say that I'm the feminine feminist. I think that like nowadays we hear like, oh, she's into women's rights and women empowerment. It can paint a picture of kind of an angry person, you know, like not a very like soft and approachable person, but I love chicks. Like, I love girls. I'm such a girl's girl. And I think that, I was telling you earlier, I was like, I think I'm a queen maker. I turn girls into alpha females, but like the best kind of alpha females, not like, ugh, like spiky, hard ones, like balanced, like we're feminine, we're warm, we're loving, but we are bad bitches.
Yes. Baddies all around.
Baddies all around.
Baddies love you.
Baddies love me.
Love you.
And I'm so thankful. Like, it's the biggest compliment ever when like another alpha female is like, you inspire me. I was like, oh my God, really? Like, you inspire me. Everyone who follows me is just so impressive.
And they're cool. You have a really cool community, the Shallontourage.
Yeah, the Shallontourage is an amazing little platform I have. It's like our little internet sorority. And it's just a great place for girls to come and connect because it's hard to make friends as an adult, just in general. You know, you don't realize how difficult it is when you took for granted your best friend was just who you sat next to in math class, or it was your sorority sister who you grew up with. And you get older and you take more agency over the rest of your life and you're like, wait a minute, are my friends really elevating me? Like, that needs to be the metric always. Toxicity isn't always the girl who's smashing a beer bottle over a dude's head at a bar. Toxicity can just be someone who doesn't always encourage you to go for it or encourages you to go for all the wrong things. Like, just keep calling him. It's fine. Like, you want the people who
yes.
are truly.
And I love that you are part of that sage wisdom section of digital noise on the internet. You are like part of the reasonable, rational, good advice that the things that someone should say to you, but maybe they don't.
Yeah, I think we live in, you know, the wokeness and it's the you girl boss too close to the sun. And I think in the very noble effort of empowering women and giving women a voice, we've gone maybe a little too far where it's like, you ask him out, you do this. Fuck no, we do enough.
We do a lot.
Let him pay for the check. Let him open the door. Like, let your friends pull up, ask for help. Like, be sweet and warm but also have that inner core of boundaries. And that's, you know, we were just talking about this in terms of facial stuff. Like, it's the Goldilocks approach. You don't want to do too much. You don't want to do nothing. It's the middle path that's always the hardest. That's the definition of enlightenment, is the tempered middle path. And just with all things, not just with skin.
I totally agree with you. And even in my world in plastic surgery, thinking about where to lie on the gray area is the difference between good and excellent. And I think that's also the difference between a happy and fulfilled life and one where you feel like you're always wanting something else. Because the extremes are so tempting, whether it's with your personal decision making or your aesthetic procedures or like anything that you do.
Extremes are easy.
Extremes are easy because you can just revert to one thing and not the other.
Of course. I mean, it's easy to be a drunk and it's easy to be sober. It's much more internal bandwidth and negotiation. Should I have a glass of wine? Should I have two? Should I have one tonight? Should I save it for tomorrow? Like, it's expenditure that when you're exhausted and overworked, you're like, fuck it. I'm either going to have 10 beers or I'm never going to drink again for the entire rest of my life. Like, but to inhabit that middle space is, it's the toughest for women who are ironic, probably the best at it, but we're just tired. We're just tired.
Okay, so you've become famous on the internet for advocating for what I think of as strong femininity.
Yeah.
Like people, women who are in their feminine energy, but also can stick up for themselves and get what they want. So do you have like two or three key pieces of advice for women and girls and young women, anyone? And men. Everyone can listen to this.
Yeah, everyone. Everyone can listen to this.
But do you have some advice, a couple of specific things that helped you or you think can help other people to kind of re-anchor in your, you know, soft but strong era?
I think the biggest lesson I've learned is that no one is coming to save you. For better or for worse. That's the good news and that's the bad news. Like, whenever something horrible has happened to me, even the people who love me the absolute most, it's not their job to pick up the pieces of my life. They don't know how. And even if they did, it gives you so much more of a gift and a silver lining from these hardships when you can do it yourself. And when I've gone through something like horrible and I was responsible for picking myself back up, getting myself into therapy, hyping myself back up, you realize my life belongs to me. I'm not actually going to live for my family, even though I love them, or my friends, even though I love them, or my partner, or whatever. I need to live for me, because at the end of the day, they're not going to be there when shit hits the fan. They're not paying the bills. They're not getting me over this breakup. Not really. It all comes back to yourself. And so you really better be okay with your decisions, because you're inside your head 24/7. You might only really deal with your parents an hour a week, 2 hours a week. Same with your friends. You're dealing with yourself every minute of every day. So you alone have to be okay with the decisions that you're making and the life that you're crafting. And like I said about toxicity, it doesn't have to look crazy and extreme for you to be like, that just doesn't work for me. You're allowed to decide your favorite color, what feels good to you, what looks good, what smells good. And you have to expand that to the macro. Like, what am I doing with my life? How am I living it? Do I genuinely like this career, this town, this religion, this haircut? And nobody else really does get a vote. You can say no to things, even if every other person on planet Earth is saying yes. But again, it's the middle path where you do want to take advice from people who love you and not just be like, no, I'm gonna call him 15 times. Like, you have to kind of temper your authenticity with, the wisdom of people around you and be able to differentiate. What is my internal sort of intuition? What's my fear voice? Do these things sound different? And how can I distinguish between the two of them? And I think it starts small. It's like, do I like Pepsi or Coke? Do I want to sit in the booth or a high top table? Like, are you even listening to yourself? And your psyche is always speaking to you. She's always trying to be heard. And I'm sure you as a doctor see this. Patients might come in with things and it's like, is it psychosomatic? Like, why are you getting this weird rash all over your face? Is it a beauty product? Is it something coming from inside your head? Like, listen to what is going on inside your body.
Totally. Stress and your inner dialogue, that has such a huge contribution, not just on how you look, but your overall health and wellness.
Yeah.
And I think that that is so true. You speak so truly to the human condition.
Yeah, I'm going through the human condition all the time.
We should make that a DSM-4 diagnosis. Like, the human condition is now a pathologized
thing. Yes, yes.
I meant it in the artistic sense, of but course. I like it better as a disease.
It feels like a disease sometimes. And that, I think, is another point that I will say is get the heck out of a victim narrative. I read that 75% of Gen Z girls identify as having a mental illness. When I grew up, it was not cool to have a mental illness. Maybe it was like too far to the other side, you know, and I'm sure at some point, like December 16th, 2004, we reached the perfect equilibrium of being like able to talk about these things, but not inhabiting the victim standpoint. And I think we've gone too far where this is the only thing that people feel makes them special. It doesn't make you special. It makes you literally the worst person to be at brunch with. Like, you are the biggest asshole at any dinner party if the coolest thing about you is whatever diagnosis you think that you have. Like, please go out and diversify yourself and get attention for things that truly make you special, because they're in there. They're absolutely in there, but you have to develop them. And if you're going to spend the same amount of energy deciding that you're broken, why don't you spend that energy deciding that you're a champion?
Yeah, I think that's so interesting. I didn't realize that it was that high.
But
I think that sort of speaks to this idea that I've noticed in culture where it feels like people are wanting to be maximally 10 out of 10 stimulated and happy all the time. That it's not abnormal to live at like a good 7.5 to 8 and have 10 days and have 5 days.
Yes.
And you're just kind of hanging out in a zone. But I have noticed this in kind of interacting with a lot of different people, that there's an expectation that maybe is more recent or maybe is just the zeitgeist, where people want to be like buzzing at a 10 all the time.
Right. Yeah. And the only way to do that is through cocaine. I will tell you that.
It's not medically, and that's not recommended.
It's not recommended. You will collapse any nose job that you get. I've seen it happen. Not on me, but I have seen it happen. Well, this is a question for you. I'm sure you have. You're like, what's going on up there? This is my question for you, because on paper, you do have it all.
I mean, thank you.
The most beautiful family, the most beautiful practice, the most beautiful gowns. And if you say that it's realistic to inhabit, you know, the 7 to 8 range, I mean, tell me about that. When did you realize that? Or did you hit a wall where you're like, wait a minute, I'm checking all these boxes and I'm not like coked out bliss 24/7? Or did you never aim for that insane 10 out of 10?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think that I have always had a relatively high happiness set point. So I think that I coast around an 8, 8.5 all the time, and I feel pretty good. But I once read from Aristotle that happiness is wanting what you have, and that excellence is not an act but a habit. So it's the little daily things that you do that make you excellent. And if you try to really appreciate and want the things that you have in your regular life, I think that that helps you make them into your idealized version. And so it's obviously, it's hard because you don't want to stagnate and not grow and not be ambitious because you're just totally, totally content. So I think that healthy dialogue between satisfaction and improvement is what has always propelled me to different career goals, different goals with my life, my family, all that stuff.
What do you want now? Like, what is next on your list?
Well, I want to continue to stay young and healthy as long as possible.
She will. If you could see her in real life. She's like, she's 16. She's like, I want to get my driver's license.
I'm trying to age backwards. Yeah, I'll get my learner's permit soon. And from there, the world's my oyster.
Yeah, make JV softball.
So then I want to, right now, professionally, I'm really trying to elevate the field of plastic surgery. So with things like my running intracuticular zip stitch, which is now a very commonly used approach for blepharoplasty or eyelid surgery, or with the concept of the modern non-surgical rhinoplasty. So I'm kind of very nerdy about being technical and excellent in what I do. With our product line, with my skincare company, we're trying to always be innovative with our product formulations. Like this year, we came out with a new intensive pigment corrector that combines tranexamic acid, kojic acid, arbutin, ergothionine, niacinamide, and vitamin C. So like the 6 big ingredients that's never been done in a consumer product before. We're trying to build the skincare line into a global omni-channel brand. So that is another exciting thing. And then I'm trying to make sure that I stay centered with my family. And I have 6 kids. I'm trying to make sure that they grow up and get raised to be nice, healthy, happy.
Yeah.
All those things. Like, I don't want them to be a Gen Z. Well, actually, they're alpha. A Gen Alpha statistic.
Oh, Gen Alpha. Gen anything. Like,
they're
kind of
like Zalpha Alpha.
Oh, my God. We've been alive too long. There's just so many names.
I know the next one is going to be beta.
Well, you know what? You're right. And if you look at the boys I've dated, I'm already into Gen Beta, okay? There's plenty of them already out there of
okay,
adult
wait,
age.
So that brings me to another question I wanted to ask you. You are renowned for your kind of sassy but on-point dating advice. What do you think about modern dating culture and what is going on with it? I have so many friends who are miserable in it right now.
Yeah, it's kind of brutal out there. I think, you know, it's like the Caesar Milan approach. When you train a dog, you don't train the dog, you train the person. Like, we are living in the golden age of fuckboys and nudes and horrible behavior and endless Tinder swiping because we allow it. I mean, you have children. You know what you permit, you promote. You are creating these creatures. And I think women have just let men get away with so much. Men are animals. They're animals. And if we let them behave like animals and make these excuses for their bad behavior or see what we want to see, when a guy will flat out say, hey, I'm not looking for anything serious. Is that because your mom hurt you? But I really feel like I can change you. Like, listen to what a man is saying. Listen to what the behavior is adding up to. And have the guts to be okay to walk away. That's where it stems from. If women are okay to walk away, this behavior ends within a year. We could clip this behavior within a year if there was a mass exodus away from bad behavior.
Like Lysistrata style.
Yes.
When all the women just take it all back.
Absolutely. Yes. If we're just like, don't do that. I don't accept this. And it doesn't mean we have to flip tables or be like hateful and mean. It's just, I don't accept this. And whenever guys act up around me, my reaction is always shock. I'm not angry. I'm like, what? Oh, I know. I've never been spoken to like that. I've never had someone behave that way. Oh, I'm just not used to that. I'm really just not used to how you're acting right now. Huh. I'm actually used to really communicative guys, very consistent guys, smart guys. You just seem like kind of an outlier right now. So, this doesn't really fit for me. Even if that's not always the case. this is what
but
you have to project.
I love that messaging because it's sort of coming from a place of strong, centered, balanced, like inner confidence as opposed to aggressiveness.
Yeah. They don't respond well. When you get aggressive, they're the little boy and you're the mom. What a sexy dynamic. Like, that is not fun. And we've all developed that parent-child dynamic in relationships. It's so gross. And it's ultimately unsustainable. But if you can come at them, it's like, oh, this is not what I expected from you. You know, you're such an alpha male. I'm just really surprised that you're behaving like that. Or I'm surprised that any man behaves like this. They're tribal. We all want to fit in. We all want to get a gold star for our behavior. And if you can activate that within them, they're more likely to be like, she's right. I want to compete against these other guys. They want to bang their fist and bring home the prize. And that has to be you. But you have to walk it like you talk it. And it's much easier to sell that shock. I can't believe you're acting like this. If you really don't suborn bullshit in the rest of your life, if you don't have toxic friends, if you don't have a job that you hate, if you do work out and habit stack and take care of yourself, that behavior really is an outlier. And even if it hurts you to walk away, pain is not an indicator that something is bad. I can tell you that because I just got the microneedle facial. Pain is required for growth sometimes.
It's required for growth.
It's required
like
for growth.
Like molting. That can't be comfortable.
No. It cannot be comfortable.
Cannot be comfortable.
Sounds horrible. Where I live, elk lose their antlers and they scrape the velvet off. It's medieval. It's ghastly. Yeah, it's so gross. Nature's horrifying. But yeah, that just because you miss someone, just because something hurts, it doesn't mean that you should stay. It doesn't mean you should plug in further. Sometimes you need to feel that pain in order for them to feel the loss of you and man up. And if they don't, girl, like, that's the answer.
I think this brings us back to some of the cool things that you're doing, which are all about creating community. Because sometimes, I think, you know, you may have read that the Surgeon General last year said that the greatest malady in American society was loneliness.
Ugh.
And it's so true.
It is so true.
People are lonely.
They are.
Sometimes people stay or get into bad romantic or other situations because they feel a loneliness and filling of any void is enough.
Yes.
So I like that you're creating this outside positive community that allows people to have kind of a little ballast against the sense of loneliness.
Yeah, I try to create just a safety net. Like my little group, the Chalantrage, it's sort of, I was saying it's my little sorority on the internet. I'm always like, if you need to leave your toxic friend group, you have one to jump into now. Like, my whole community is, we're ready. Like, we're alpha girls. We're so warm. We're so nice. We're so fun. Because it's scary. Exactly. Nobody wants to be alone.
Wait, do I need to be in this?
Yes, you do.
Okay, let's just pause and tell people how to become in this. Because also, isn't it so great to listen to her talk? It's just so fun. I'm happily married. And like, a lot of this stuff is not applicable, but I'm like, yes. But tell them no.
You know what? But we're all in this together. Like, my best friend is married with 4 kids. And we go through almost day to day the exact same emotions, you know? And I think we look at girls in other avenues of life and we're like, she's never going to relate to me. But no, it's the human experience, you know, it's boundaries, the condition. It's goals. It's a human condition. Yes. The condition that we're all dealing with, that we're all infected with. We're all in this together, and like, life comes in different packaging, but it's the same emotions. It's the same struggles. And the worst thing we can do as women is assume no one's going to understand us. And I think it's the gift and the curse is that we're all super lonely, because that means everyone wants to connect. And people just kind of need a little icebreaker. So yeah, I mean, my group, the Chalantrage, it's really so easy. You just come in and you have like hundreds and hundreds of ready-made friends all around the world. And the girls meet up, they go on vacation together. I host trips with girls. We're going to Paris in the spring, then the French Riviera and Italy, and we go all over Europe. And
you also are actually quite academic. You're a best-selling author, you're a writer, you've written for all these glossy magazines. So I think sometimes people probably figure it out just listening to you talk, because you're so eloquent.
Well, thank you.
But sometimes people may not know that you have this whole other backstory. So could you tell us a little bit about your backstory?
Yeah, I was a writer for a really long time. I lived in New York for 15 years. I wrote my first book when I was 23. It was a teen fiction novel called Hot Mess. And I wrote my next one called X's and O's when I was, I think, 27. I'm working on my third now. It's going to be a romantic fantasy, and it's gonna be slutty. It's gonna be great. I just read so many bad ones. I'm like, I can do this better. So if you like Fourth Wing or ACOTAR, hopefully you'll like Firebird, and it'll be out later this year. And yeah, then I was working in magazines. I worked for Glamour, the New York Daily News. I was the editor of Star Magazine for a long time. So I know a lot about celebrities, and that kind of gave way to the YouTube channel. I'm a reality show on MTV for one season called Downtown Girls. It was really fun. And hopefully I'm getting a new reality show soon about life in Montana. So if you like Yellowstone, you probably like that. Or if you like The Simple Life, you probably like it, because I'm a little bit of a fish out of water. But yeah, I've kind of been all over, and YouTube is such a great platform because it's just so unfiltered, you know?
Yeah, I think that's what people want now. We exited the super curated era, and now people want the realness.
Yeah, people are just, if we're lonely, we need realness. I think, of course, we want the glossy, beautiful, aspirational content. There's always going to be a home for that. We love it. But we want connection. It's a tough world out there, and you just want to feel like, am I crazy for feeling how I feel? Is this problem crazy? Am I unlovable? Am I the problem? We will tell you. Like, if you are actually the problem, like, I will be the one to tell you, but I'll be the one to tell you how to fix it.
Okay, and my last question for you is, well, my penultimate question for you is, what are your goals for your brand?
Oh my gosh, my goals for my brand. I think I just really want to be the girl who makes strong women shine a little brighter. And I feel like that's maybe a generic thing to say, but if you are a strong woman, you know how easy it is to dim. You know how easy it is to play dumb on a date, or like kind of maybe not wear the big furry glammy coat when you're out in your small town because you know you're going to get a bad look. Or, hey, don't go for the joke because you don't want to intimidate the other people in the room. No, girl, stand up. Did we really come this far to only come this far? And there's so much more for us to do. And I want us to feel good and happy about doing all this, but also figure out how to balance all of our really cool, vibrant energy with like the sweet softness. So if I can be known as the girl who helps everyone do that.
The queen maker. And where do we find you?
You guys can find
me. Now everyone's obsessed with you. All the baddies are your new besties.
I hope so. Well, if you like celebrity gossip with some advice mixed in, I always take a celebrity story and turn it into advice. What can we learn from these people? You can find me on YouTube, Shallon Lester, or on Instagram, ShallonXO. And if you want to join the Chalantrage, I've got links in both of those places. And yeah, come on into the girl gang. It's a ladies.
Oh my gosh, you're the best. I'm so happy that you
Thank
came.
Thank you.
This was so fun.
This
Thank
was so
you.
Fun. Thank you. Thank